Hello and welcome back to the podcast. Today's episode is very interesting, featuring someone I've worked with for many years. Stefan is a lawyer, he's also a TV personality and a great man. Enjoy. I can feel it, there's something in the water.
Anything is possible. It's Stefano Lucatella and I'm senior partner of an international property law firm called Cobalt Law LLP, as you can see behind me. We're an international law firm based in Chelsea in London with associate offices all over the world, and we help people maneuver the intricacies of buying property abroad. Main countries: Italy, France, Spain, Portugal, Mexico, North Africa, Turkey, Bulgaria, and places like that, where there is a language and a different body of law involved. So we take all the stress out of buying property abroad for you. And I think that sums up what I do, really.
Okay. And you're an interesting man, because I see you sometimes in television. Now, back maybe 10 years ago, you were always on a show called, I think it was Place in the Sun. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about that, what that was like, and are you ever nervous when you're doing these types of programs?
I have to say to you that if you're not nervous, there's something wrong with you, but it's a pleasure for me to appear in front of a screen. If I could do that all day long, I'd do that rather than being a lawyer, because I enjoy putting myself out there. I enjoy teaching people about what I know best through, and what I know best about is how to help people buy property abroad, avoiding the problems that people usually do have when they're buying abroad, because people don't understand the language and they don't understand the foreign body of law, which is totally different. And the main clients we act for are English people, because we have a body of law called common law here. Everywhere else abroad in the world, they use something called civil law, which is the Roman law code, also known as the Napoleonic Code, which is where Napoleon conquered a country. He left a body of law there, and that was what they have. And we don't have that, of course, because Wellington defeated Napoleon at Waterloo, so he never came this way. Place of the Sun was great. I still do webinars with them now. It was appearing on TV shows and doing stuff on other countries as a lawyer, visiting places, and saying to people what they should be worried about, what they should be looking for, and how to go about it the correct way. As you know, Drew, people, if they don't take legal advice, they then regret it, and it costs them 10 times more to put it right afterwards than it does if you instruct a lawyer first thing. And people think that they don't need a lawyer when they buy property abroad, because the agent says to them, don't use a lawyer, you don't need one, this, that, and the other. Yeah. I beg to differ. I would. We're here to help people, not here to hinder people. And many occasions we tell people, look, right from the beginning, I think this is a no-go, don't go there, don't buy it, don't waste your money. Some people listen, some people don't. But, we've done our job, and I've discharged my responsibility as a lawyer to tell them what's what and when.
Okay. It's very, very much like Beckett Hanlon, because our slogan or strapline for years, I'm talking, 20 years, was buying property safely abroad. Now, yeah. I'm not a lawyer, but I do know the right way to sell property. And you're very, very true when you say about using a lawyer. I haven't had too many people, thankfully, who said they didn't want to use a lawyer, but you will get the person who thinks they can buy the property cheaper and they can do this and do that. It's like anything, if you're a surgeon and you've got a problem, you don't try to take out the operation yourself. You go to somebody who knows it. So that's the way I put it across to my clients. And buying property safely is really one of the biggest words we use. I mean, I'm in different podcasts and different, portals, and I talk about buying property safely. And that has actually done us a lot of good. And the programs that you watch on television sometimes do us good, sometimes don't. I'm not getting a plug against Place in the Sun, but everybody can buy a property for $60,000, I think, which is totally and totally wrong. We don't sell secondhand or resale property. It's always new. It's either being built or built. Yeah. So. Yeah. I stay away from the resale business or the resale industry. But moving on from that, I mean, Place in the Sun, and then I seen you in another program, Property Television or Property TV.
Property TV. I did 70-odd episodes of Property TV, which I stopped doing in November of last year. And that was a sort of question time scenario where three of us were sat in front of a camera and we were all answering questions, two on English law, English property, sorry, and me on international property. So we'd get questions flung at us by email or live across the TV channel. And we'd answer these questions. I'd answer strictly on international property law and how to keep people on the straight and narrow, what to avoid, what to do, how to do it. And of course, it was a good opportunity for me to put forward my book, on buying property abroad. There's not been a book written since 2008 on buying property abroad and what you should do. And I decided that after 30 odd years, Drew, just like you, it was time. Someone said to me, isn't it about time that you wrote something and showed people that you were the go-to expert on buying property abroad? So in 3 weeks, I did put the first edition together and the book is called Investing in Foreign Property, The Ultimate Guide to Buying Safely. And again, that word safely is there because what I wanted to sell to people was not the book, but the content. The book is irrelevant in some ways. It's the content that, in the sense that I want people to be able to take this book away with them. They can either buy it on Amazon if they put my name in, Stefano Lucatello, or they can download it from Amazon in a Kindle version. But the format of it is 10 chapters, and it starts from the moment you sat on a dreary Belfast wet afternoon with nothing else better to do, and you decide that you're going to start looking for a property, and Drew's name comes up and Stefano Lucatello's name comes up, and they think, right, okay, so how do we start buying a property? Where do we go from here? Yeah, and it takes them all the way through legal, the agent, the legals, the mortgage, the putting together the money, the taxation, foreign exchange, moving out there permanently in some cases, setting up a business out there, retiring out there, and then, unfortunately, what happens if it all goes wrong and coming back to the United Kingdom. And at the end of it, there are 20 pages of blank pages so that you can take this book with you. And actually, when you're sat in front of Drew and he's telling you all this stuff that you can't keep in your mind, you can actually write it down there and then and take it home with you. You know, and it's now on its second edition. It will be on its third edition next year when we come out of Brexit. So that it'll bring things up to date. But it's been a useful tool which I give out at exhibitions. Don't sell it usually. And if we do sell it, any of the proceeds go to the London Marsden Charity Cancer Trust. So that it's in that way it helps them, and also it helps me to market. And in the same way, you know, you've written a book, haven't you, recently, Drew? What's it called?
Well, my book hasn't been published yet. Next year it's called Can You See It? And that's more my lifestyle and from being in business for, you know, basically 40 years and the ups and downs you have in business, because nothing runs in a straight line, as I'm sure you well know.
And I'm sure it'll be a bestseller, mate.
Let's get it out. I'm looking forward. I'm working hard at it at the moment.
So, good.
Leading on from that, Stefan, that's the business part of Stefan. But what about the personal side? So, you know, I know what I do to relax. I know what things that I love music. I play drums. I take all my stress out and beating the drum. So what do you do? What's your other enjoyments?
I take my stress out on beating an egg, Drew. My joy is to come home at night, as I did last night, for example, and look in the fridge and see what we've got, and prepare a beautiful meal for my other half, Marilyn, who runs my business. So she stays at work a bit longer. I come home a little earlier. And when it's ready, I give her the nudge and she comes home 10 minutes walk from work. And last night we had crispy chicken done sort of Kentucky Fried Chicken style with my own herbs and whatever, with side salads and that sort of thing. So my enjoyment is to come home and create dishes. You'll see me on Instagram with my own dishes and on Facebook where I have a following. And my aim is in the next year or so to open an Italian cookery school in Italy, in Umbria or in Tuscany, with a spa, so that people who don't want to cook can relax while their partner's cooking and learning, and to have his chefs coming in from different parts of the world to teach people on a 2 to 7 day course how to cook, maybe Italian, Chinese, French, whatever it is, whilst at the same time being in a beautiful environment of Italy, which is where my mother and father both come from. So hence the choice of Italy. But so my passion predominantly is cooking. When I'm not cooking, I'm at the helm or the steering wheel of a sports car. So I have a couple of Jaguars and a Maserati, which I enjoy taking out for rides. Right. And there's nothing better than being behind the steering wheel of an XKR or a Maserati Quattroporte, doing 30 miles an hour, officer. Those are my passions, really. And the other one, of course, which is linked, is Formula One. I'm an ardent fan of Ferrari, although we're not doing well at the moment. If you cut me down the middle, you'll see Ferrari written all the way down me like a piece of rock. Those are my three passions, really.
Right, yeah. Because when I met you, I think it was maybe, 10, maybe 11 years ago, you were speaking, and I was actually speaking at the same event. And, you know, when you spoke, I said to myself, there's a man very passionate in anything he's doing. So you put a lot of passion into cooking. You certainly put a lot of passion into teaching and educating people to buy property safely abroad.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's not many people out there that are as passionate. So, you know, in life and in business, as I spoke about earlier, there's obviously ups and downs. So everything doesn't run smooth. Has it always run smooth for you? Has it been difficult?
Speaking about that. Yeah, I mean, I am born and bred in Hull in Yorkshire. I trained in London for 4 years down in Dover Street in the West End with an Anglo-Italian law firm, which set me up, came back up to Hull. And then from Hull went to Leeds, practiced in two different law firms in Leeds, one as a football lawyer acting for Leeds United Football Club. So I brought Eric Cantona to Leeds United Football Club and many others in the days when Leeds were a resurgent team, a good team who won the championship before the premiership. Then I went to Gibraltar and acted as an international lawyer there. So did offshore tax and trust work and then came back and set up my own law firm and in turn had various law firms where I was the owner of. And as you say, business is never straightforward. And I think I have to say that we had a tough time, especially around 2008, where banks were closing businesses down, banks were demanding their monies back. We were no different as a law firm. I mean, we had over 2 million pound overdraft. A law firm in Hull, which was the third largest law firm, we had 130 odd employees, which was huge. So not only admin staff, but lawyers, 70 odd lawyers. We were the largest criminal law firm in the north of England. And it brings with it, that sort of numbers, brings with it its own problems.
Yeah.
And hence my law firm now is 11 people and not 133. And I never want to go through that again, because you have to learn to react quickly. And I have to say to you, Drew, that in the same way that you've been in business many years, I think we've been successful, although in different names and shapes and ways, because we've been able, like a boat with a rudder, to be able to sail and change direction and tack direction as the wind changes. Because unless you are able to change with the circumstances that people or governments or whatever or the world throws at you, you will die. And look at the number, Drew, you'll have seen it in our profession, in the international property law side of things. Look at the number of law firms that over the years have come and gone. We are the only law firm that has been here, and I've been in business doing international property law since 2002, albeit in separate names, but you know, the continuity being me and various other members of the team. We're the only law firm to have done this since 2002 continuously. Yeah. I've seen people come and go. You know, we're the only law firm that covers as many countries as we do. Others cover, you know, one or two at the most. And they come and go. So we must be doing something right to a certain degree to still be in business. And big isn't always best. You know, I learned that when we had this big law firm in Hull many years ago. Big isn't best, because everyone within the law firm, whether it's admin or lawyer, wants different things. And it's like herding rabbits. You know, you can never catch them.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, your story is so true, because I mean my industry was obviously financial services up to 52 years of age. I retired from that and started up selling international property. And then 5-6 years ago I started building Beckett Hanlon franchise. And it's had its good times, but it's also had its bad times. You know, I say this in every podcast. I mean, we just opened a new office here in Belfast in a very nice area, and 2 weeks after I opened it, it was lockdown.
Right.
You know, the one thing I've learned through all the problems that's been happening over the last 7, 8, 10 months is that word you said, change. You have to change, but it's changing quickly, not waiting for somebody to do it and then say, I wish I had a. This wish I had is, I don't like that word. So, you know, when I go up to heaven, you'll never see that on my headstone. I wish I had it. I'll try and do when I'm here what I can do. But, you know, business is never meant to be in a straight line anyway. It's how you go with the flow. And, you know, you're an intelligent guy and you've run a very good operation. Yes, it's smaller, but that doesn't mean it's not better.
No, absolutely not. I mean, you know, I have some competitors of mine, younger competitors, and, you know, we've trained, just like you, you'll have seen a lot of staff come through your business over the years and whatever. We've trained a lot of staff who have then at a certain age thought that they could either, they've learned enough to go out and do it themselves and thought, or thought they could do it better. Some have survived, some haven't. Whether they've done bad or whatever is not for me to say. But there is one particular law firm which does international property, Italian law. And every time we meet them at Place of the Sun, and it makes me laugh, they always park themselves near us because they always like to see what we do. And they always come over in their ribbers and say, Stefano, you are the boss. You've taught me everything. And everything you do, we follow. So that they're following me and I'm making the tracks and they're following me in my wake. So you always have to keep ahead of your opposition. You always have to keep ahead of your competition, one step ahead, if not more. And we're always trying to reinvent ourselves and change services. And if you look at the services that have evolved over the years that we provide, you know, we now provide a wider range of services, a more in-depth range of services than we did many, many years ago.
Yeah.
And client demands that because, you know, when you ask for £2,000, £3,000, £4,000, as legal fees, you have to be able to justify the services you give, Drew. You know, you can't just ask for them and say, I'm a lawyer, pay me.
No. And sometimes years ago, that's the way it was. I have to say, you know, that's my fee. And the client would have said, that's very expensive. What do they do for this? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I know that's not yourself because you would be a very detailed person and they know exactly what they're getting. But they also know that what the business you do for them, there's nothing going to come back and bite them. So it's done correctly. One word I'm going to ask you. I asked every person this actually. What really drives Stefan?
Do you know what? It's the interest. Interest drives me because I think the day you lose interest in anything, then you're no longer driven. You want to change. I have a very short attention span, always have had a very short attention span, and unless I'm interested in something, I move on to something else, and hence I came into this business of international property law. I was, until 2002, a very successful commercial property and sports lawyer, and then I came across this guy called John Howell, who was of course the guru of international property law. He invented this area of property law because it didn't exist beforehand, and I knew John as a young trainee, because when I was looking for a traineeship, I went to see him and he interviewed me, and I then decided I didn't want to go and work in Sheffield where he was a criminal lawyer. And then he also had enough, and then that's how he came into this business. So interest is what drives me, and passion comes from interest, and with passion comes a motivation, and from motivation comes the enjoyment out of it. I enjoy standing, as you do, Drew, in front of an audience and talking to people and not lecturing them or seminaring them, because I think it's very boring, but teaching them what I know. Yeah. And, you know, and I enjoy commanding a stage, walking about a stage, just like you do, and seeing people's interest. Oh, you know, the last thing you want to be talking to people is about law, because it's very boring. But if you spice it up, with jokes, with, like my book is, if you spice it up with stories, then people will go away with a smile. People certainly don't fall asleep in my seminars because I'm always keeping them on their toes, interacting with them. So the interest, for me, interest is what keeps me going.
Keeps you going, okay. Mm. One piece of advice that you would give to an up-and-coming, budding, or even older entrepreneur trying to build a company, build a business, what would that one piece of advice be to them?
Surround yourself with people who know better in areas that you do not know anything or very little about. Do not think that you are all-knowing, omnipotent, and you can do it yourself. As a young man, I thought very bluntly that I could do it all. I knew it all and this, that, and the other. And you're proved wrong very quickly. And the one thing I've learned is, you know, I hate numbers. I'm okay with them, but as a lawyer, I'm great with words, but I'm not so good with numbers. And my other half, Marilyn, she runs the practice and she's good with numbers. And she tells you what we can spend or what we can't spend, and she gets it right and she does the numbers. And that's, you need people around you, whether it's marketing, numeracy, accountancy, public relations, that sort of thing. If you are good at something, stick to what you are good at and do not try to be good at everything else. You can't be good. We can't, as human beings, be good at everything.
That's exactly right. I mean, I introduced you to Darren, my marketing guy, and I'm not very good at the English part of it, doing emails and numbers, all that stuff, because I'm a very visionary person. I see things. That's why the book's called Can You See It? So I see things that happens. More likely visionary type of person, but the other stuff I know I don't. And you know, to have Darren along with me, he keeps me right on that end. Sometimes he says to me, by the way, you're seeing too much, will you please slow down, because you're seeing everything. Every morning you wake up, you have a different idea. But you know, without the ideas, nothing happens. So Stefan, one word, if I met somebody in Hull and I said, look, do you know Stefan? Yes, I do. Yeah. Give me one word that describes him.
Well, actually, it's either one word or it's got a hyphen in the middle, big head.
Right. Okay.
Again, always, always, always big headed. As I said to you, it goes back to when I was a kid, but big headed. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's not many people in Hull that don't know the surname Lucatello, either because of myself or because my mum was a very, good and very long time serving teacher at university in Hull, in the head of the Italian language department and also the modern language departments at the grammar schools in Hull. So she always achieved substantial results with kids. So our name is very, 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 very standoutish, shall we say, in Hull. You know, you don't get many Lucatellas in Hull. You don't get many Lucatellas around the world. Some people say it's a good thing, Drew, that there's not many Lucatellas in Hull. But there we go. Big head, I think, sums me up. I'm proud of what I am. You know, I've achieved. I sometimes stand back. And very often, as entrepreneurs, we stand back and think we haven't achieved anything. We say, well, what have I achieved? And people keep reminding me that, you know, what I have done over the years. And I seem to think, oh, fine, yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah. I seem to forget sometimes. And you know, it's good when people say to you, I enjoy being told I'm good at what I do. And you sell good property, you have to do the proper thing to do is due diligence. You know, clients, whether they're buying from you as a representative or developer or whatever, or they're buying services from me, they need to do due diligence. And those are the two words I would advise people to keep in their mind when they're buying property or doing anything, is investigate whoever you're dealing with, buying from, whatever. And those two words apply everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Stefan, thank you very much for being on the podcast. The one thing I'm going to finish with is to ask you, when I'm going to get over to England, and I definitely want to have one of those meals, because I've seen them on Facebook, I've seen it on Instagram.
Great.
My lips is watering just to eat something.
It'd be a pleasure to cook for you, my friend. It'd be a pleasure to cook for you.
You will cook for me. So thanks very much, and I wish you all the best in your career and anything that you're looking forward to doing in the future.
I look forward to working with you again, Drew. All the best to you, mate, and look forward to seeing you for this slap-up meal when you come across to London, my guest.
Thank you very much.
All the best to you.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
I hope you've enjoyed today's episode of the podcast. My favourite quote from Stefan during this episode was, "Interest drives me." When you're no longer interested, you're on a chain. It's so important to have passion for what you do. Passion equals happiness. Can you see it? Anything is possible.